we're being reduced to emotions and like our senses and hunger and pain as like the only things that like keep us human. You know what I mean?
Episode four,
man.
Season five. We are back.
We back.
We're in it. We are ready.
We're ready.
Let's go. Let's bring up the energy.
I'm hyped up, you know what I'm saying? That's different because today we're recording during the day.
Yeah.
That's why we're coming in with a little bit more extra hype this time around.
Family day. We're chilling. Hey, man. Weather's nice.
Yeah.
No worries right now.
Not spending time with our family.
You're my family.
Yeah, man. We are family together, man.
100%. We got a great episode today. We got a lot of great topics. What I wanted to call out real quick before we got into everything, you might have noticed we've had like a BioSteel drink or two in the other kind of podcasts. And after that, BioSteel hit us up. They sent us a case of a bunch of different products. We have some on the table right now. We're sipping on some BioSteel products right here. So want to shout out them. Want to shout out my friend Dylan for hooking that up. It's pretty dope.
It is pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what started is just kind of like, I think we like put it in front of the camera because I was like just having one day
or
something.
Organic,
and then, you know, totally organic. But, you know, I had to get the BioSteel to match the fit today. I don't know if you see
that's crazy.
You know?
That's crazy.
The BioSteel, got the Raptors.
Tripped out in purple.
You know, got to do it. Get it done. I'll give you an official taste test right here.
Let's do it.
You just can't go wrong. It's kind of interesting, though, because I feel like, for so long, Gatorade was the official, like, only well-known, like, hydration drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I only Powerade started, kind of, but, like,
totally.
Yeah, only, yeah, pretty much.
You know, and BioSteel is not paying us to say any of this.
No,
this is just, like, a full-on.
You actually drink BioSteel.
I legitimately drink BioSteel, and I enjoy it. It's funny, because if there's anyone from my work listening to this right now, I'm always harassing the guy who runs the BioSteel partnership. Oh, you're like, man, like, when do we get more?
You gotta get
some in the fridge. So
when you love a brand, you go in.
I do.
I noticed that for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a loyalist.
A big loyalist. But again, shout out to BioSteel for hooking it up. Really appreciate it. But man, like, a nice long weekend. First one in a while. What'd you get up to?
Yeah, man. Turned up on Saturday with the boys, with everyone. That was a good time. You missed out. Should have pulled up. But hey,
of course.
Next one, you know. We just found that, like, our friend group, we had a lot to celebrate. There were a bunch of new jobs. There are new situations happening. Birthday that just passed. And we're like, we haven't, like, had a collective celebration. So it was, like, a backup of, like, five different things we were celebrating all in one night. And
that's dope.
It was a great time, man. Always great with the boys. Yesterday, visited back home, got some nice home-cooked meals, you know.
Oh, man, nice.
Left grabbing some shit from the fridge to bring home.
Of course.
You know, of course. But it's been a chill weekend today, chilling with you, podcast.
Yeah.
Seeing a movie later, you know, just.
Oh, dope. What
just
movie?
Chilling. Ant-Man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've been talking about going to see a movie for the last little bit with my girl, and I'm just like.
What's out?
I was like, yeah, like, what's there to see? Like,
I heard The Woman King was fire. That was like a month ago or 2 months ago.
I'll have to really keep up with. I don't keep up with anything. Like, no movies.
No shows.
Yeah. Like, nothing, man.
You're just out here. Just
I'm vibing. Just I'm straight vibing up just
with
vibing.
Your BioSteel.
Drinking
your
some BioSteel, bro. You know
what man. What was your weekend, Sam?
It's been pretty typical. Like, you know, we.
Same old.
You know, same old.
Yeah.
You know, went out last couple nights, so feeling a little bit tired today. Gonna take it easy. My family, you know, back home in Ottawa, so I'm not really gonna spend too much time with them obviously today. But heading to Montreal next weekend, which is gonna be hype.
Yes, sir.
I haven't been to Montreal in a minute, so you know, see a hockey game, you know, some bars, have some good food, indulge in the
culture.
Montreal cuisine.
Of course.
Very excited. So if anyone's listening to this has any restaurant recos, hit me up.
There you go.
You know, how
or
to
if
get
we got
out.
Fans in Montreal, hit up Malik if you see him.
Yeah, like, you know.
Take a picture with him.
Big time. I'll have a BioSteel and a taxi to.
That's in your luggage, of course.
Big time. Yeah. Big time.
We got to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend, right?
Man.
Big events over the weekend. Did you catch any of them? Dunk contest, skills competition?
I wish I watched a little bit more of it, if I'm being completely honest. Like, the thing that I usually like around the NBA All-Star Weekend is like the dunk contest, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I love the Rising Stars game, yeah. Like where it's like a bunch of like rookies and sophomores facing off against each other. Like, yeah, shout out to Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like those games are like at least a little bit competitive, right?
They're trying. They got something to prove.
You know, you know. But I felt like the actual like the dunk contest this year was crazy. You know, I love what they did.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll jump back into that in a sec. But like, I felt like there wasn't like the dunk contest typically has been like pretty bad in the last couple of years. Since 2016, I was like, it's kind of soft. But this year, I don't know if everybody saw, but Mac McClung, shouts to Mac McClung. He's like a G Leaguer guy.
Yep.
I've been following this guy's like high school, you know, mixtape for a long time. Very talented dunker. He was invited. This is actually a first that the NBA did.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
Totally. They invited like G Leaguers to partake in it. Yeah. He plays for the G League, trying to work his way into the NBA. And
there's a lot of NBA players that like opt out.
Totally.
Like you'll never see LeBron at this point. John Morant is not in it, you know. And a lot of these people, just these players, the top players, like, they don't want to get injured. And they don't, I don't know. I think there's a lot of expectations, so they don't want to potentially fail in front of people.
Yeah.
Is what I'm assuming. But so I like the idea of bringing in that young kind of talent.
Me too.
People that want to prove themselves.
Me too, man. Like, it's like, you know, it's the same kind of like context as the Rising Stars competition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, people coming in, maybe their first time All Stars or the rookies or something like that, give them an opportunity to like put themselves on, you know, a stage where there's going to be a ton of people watching.
Yeah.
And when, you know, Mac McClung comes out, man, he shut it down. Yeah. Like, there is no, for me, like, people are saying he saved the dunk contest.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Because they're probably going to keep that format.
Yeah.
In the coming years, right? And Shaq was one of the, like, he was speaking, he was the judge, and he was saying, hey, no one knows your name right now, but now, like, everyone's going to know you. So, like, take advantage of this moment. Like, no one knows who you are. And I'm like, people do, but I get what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, low-key shade.
People know who he is.
I think the point that he's making is, like, you know what? Like, this is, like, the biggest you've ever been.
100%.
So, like, make sure that you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very true, man. Like, I feel like I've always wanted to see that guy in the league, like play a little bit more. Like I think he's played for the Lakers.
I think he did
like
two games, maybe.
Yeah. And they're not really giving him a shot. But I'm like, man, like, just let him play. Like, sign up, like, to a team that like has no like chance of making the playoffs or anything like that. Like, what are you risking? You know what I mean? Like,
maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
He's pretty short too, right?
Yeah.
In NBA standards, like 6 feet or something.
I think he's like less than 6'2", which is crazy.
Yeah, so it's like you got to be really good to. But I mean, that's a whole other discussion. You know, I don't really know. But
totally.
Yeah, All Star Game. I think it often gets criticized for like the lack of effort. Yeah. You know? You see some crazy dunks and some cool kind of like plays, but no one's really trying that hard. You know.
Yeah, like I feel like it's kind of it's unfortunate because it could be really cool. What it used to be, I remember being like, wow, like, man, like, this is hype.
Kobe going against Iverson.
Yeah.
It was
tight, man. Yeah. But, you know,
West versus East.
Again, it's now it's like, you know, players don't want to get hurt. Like, it's a lot of like joking around and stuff, which is like nice to
it's
see.
Cool. It's
like,
cool.
You like to see like players having fun and stuff. But it's like, I watched a bit of the All Star game yesterday and it was like, there's not even like any defense being played.
None.
You know what I mean? It's like they just let them walk through. Like, you're going to get a layup every single time you go up, right?
But what you want to see is, like, the best of the best battling it out.
Yeah.
The East versus West competition. Like, I liked that back in the day. But I don't know if I'm just sounding like an old head. Like, wasn't that long ago. But
like, you do want to see a bit of competition, right?
Yeah,
like, you want to, like, the reason why you're watching is because it's like, every star in the NBA facing off against each other, like, that's awesome. You want to see a little more competition. You want to see a little bit more action. But I'm hoping they can do something to maybe, like, I don't know if, like, the format needs to change, because I think they've done a really good job of, like, innovating with
the format. I would say, yeah.
But I would say the there needs to be, like, a stronger, like, incentive for, like, players to, like, want to be a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what
to want to, like, win it.
Yeah, to want to win. Like, if you know, whoever wins the dunk contest or wins the All-Star game or whatever, like, that conference gets like home court advantage in like the NBA finals or something like that.
Oh, that'd be insane.
You know? Yeah. Or like something in that realm where it's like you can actually like change the outcome of, you know, a playoff series, or is there something in that they can do?
That ties to the regular season or to the playoffs.
Yeah, like make it matter.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Hey, Adam Silver, hit us up.
Adam Silver, hit us up, man.
Yeah.
But the last thing is about All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Have to comment on it is the Kyrie Irving situation. I think they did a draft lottery this time around, which I actually really loved the way that they did it. They had Giannis and LeBron basically pick the players like live in front of everyone. So it's like, it felt like it was like a schoolyard game where they're like, okay, I get this. And then, the person who gets picked last is like, damn, that's L still. But Kyrie Irving, obviously his controversy with Nike and all that. So he was wearing shoes yesterday, but he was like covering up the Nike check.
Yeah.
And like, of course, like people are looking out for that kind of stuff. People are like,
people are sharing it all over Instagram right now. It's him like taking a stand and like whatever it is. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? Like, I kind of look at that. I'm like, okay, cool.
I'm like, what's up? I like legit don't care. Yeah. I'm like, okay, like just play the game. I feel like Kyrie, like, he's like one of the most talented people to ever play. Like, he's a fantastic player. But like I was saying to you before this, like, he just brings a lot of like baggage, unfortunately, to whatever franchise he's going to.
Yeah.
And like, I remember when he left Cleveland to go to Boston, like that was a whole thing. And then, you know, he didn't play in Boston very much because he was injured. And then his second year, he told everyone that he was going to resign in Boston and then didn't, and went to the Brooklyn Nets.
And then COVID and all
that kind of stuff happened. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he played like maybe like 1.5 seasons in his like 4 seasons there or something like that.
Which is insane.
Yeah. And I'm like, ah. And then now he's in, requested a trade. Now he's in Dallas. Who knows who's going to be after that?
Yeah.
It's just, there's a storyline. There's like a dark cloud or a problem every time he kind of goes somewhere. And it's
outside of his like, playmaking and game.
It's, you know, the game. Yeah,
yeah, totally. It's all outside of that. It's all kind of like personal stuff and his stance on certain issues and things like that, which unfortunately is clouding his game.
Yeah, you know, totally.
And his future career. But,
yeah, absolutely. And it's like, if you look at it from a business perspective, you're not going to look at him and say, oh, okay, like I'm going to get, you know, 4 years out of Kyrie Irving if we offer him like a big contract or something. Like you never know.
You're taking a gamble.
Totally.
Something I want to still talk about for All-Star Weekend that I kind of, so someone like me, I do not have cable. I don't have NBA League Pass.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So like the way that I watch games will be like illegal streams. Or,
and you know, you're out here, like, you are just out here saying that.
Hey,
like,
I mean, Pirate Bay, NBA streams, we're holding it down. But all of that is, like, super unreliable, right?
Yeah.
So the way I just think about it, like, I'm on Twitter a lot, and Twitter has done a really good job of being the place for what's happening.
Like, live.
Live content. So if the Grammys are out, the Golden Globes, all the NBA games, they have full coverage. They have all the clips organized in this one kind of area.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, as an ideal scenario, a way for me to actually want to pay to use social media would be if they could strike a deal with, you know, sports franchises or like the media companies or whatever it is, so that I could watch a live event, not just a clip. Like, if I could watch an NBA game on Twitter, I'll pay you how much you need per month. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, a certain amount, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're getting at.
But I just wish that those partnerships were like explored or even possible. I know they're pretty challenging to achieve, but make it easier for me. Like, is that the next step of social media where you can watch full live content on it?
That'd be really cool, man. Like, we were talking about this before. I feel like it's very like fragmented out.
100%.
Like, okay, you're on Twitter here and you're following the game, you're following this, and now you're watching, you know, the game on your TV, or maybe you have something up on your phone. Like, you know, it's a lot, right?
Yeah,
it'd be great if there was just one place. And what's funny about and ironic about those like illegal streams is often there's like a live chat that's going on.
Yeah.
Very fucked up. The comments are said.
Yeah, those, like, you don't read those chat
forums. I just like, I mute it.
Yeah.
But it would be dope if there was something like that on Twitter or like any social media where you can actually like engage with the sport like directly, like put the game where people are versus like having them seek it out somewhere else.
Exactly. Because it's always like, hey, where do I watch the NBA All-Star Weekend? You're Googling that. And then all these links that are unsafe, you don't really know like what's going to happen. Yeah. All the commentary is on Twitter anyhow. But the thing is, like, as someone you work in partnerships, you know, working in marketing, working in like the business space, it's not easy for to happen.
Totally. You know? It's
a lot of barriers.
It would be a very legitimate thing for someone to like to consider. And like at the end of the day, the fan experience is what you want the most. 100%. A positive fan experience.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult when you put yourself in a position where you're like, well, like, you know, we're not going to do this because we don't think it's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's like you're putting your product, you know, where thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are like talking about it anyway.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And yeah, we have a few topics kind of related to this whole space that we'll definitely get into, and we can move on to this next one. But more to come on like the social media paying and all of that. But this next topic is similar to kind of what I was just saying, but Meta, so the company that owns Facebook and Instagram and NBA, they've reached a multi-year partnership,
right?
Which involves like the multiverse and VR and all those kind of cool futuristic kind of immersive technologies.
Yeah.
But this will allow fans to be immersed into the game. So for All-Star Weekend, for example, there's like a three-point shootout that you can do in like VR as an event in a metaverse type of format. Right. Or typically you'll be able to like sit at a game in this Meta Quest or whatever they're calling and watch from like courtside, which adds a whole nother dimension to
fandom.
The fan experience and to fandom. Yeah. What do you think of that? Is something you'd try out?
Oh, I'd have to look at it. Right?
Yeah.
Like I think the thing that I appreciate about the NBA is that it's very innovative.
Forward thinking.
You know what I mean? It's like there's a very heavy undertone of like sports and tech and like coming together. And I feel like the NBA has done such a good job of like working with its partners to like help come up with like, you know, the most unique innovations, you know, that people have ever seen.
Yep.
Right. And we were talking about this a little bit before, but you know, the experience of, you know, putting like a POV camera as like what you're seeing during the game is like as if you were a player on the court, like watching around, like that would be incredible. Like the Brooklyn Nets have like a technology that they've implemented. I don't know if it's like super official or anything yet, but like it's a product that they use to like bring you literally into the game, which well, not literally, but like you understand what I mean.
As literal as
as literal as it gets. But it would be very cool to do something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I do think that, you know, one of the coolest things that we saw, and I'm sure that you saw it the other day, was I think it was like some type of like conference or part of the All-Star Weekend or something like.
Yeah, they have a new tech conference that the NBA is kind of like speaking to. So unveiling new things every year. And
which is so cool. Where you could literally like scan somebody and then like replace that. Like you watch a highlight of like, let's call it like Kevin Durant making a shot or like LeBron going for a dunk or Giannis like making a good play or something. And like you can just like superimpose like your scanned avatar to like replace Giannis. So it looks like you are making this dunk.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that is so cool.
It will take over social media.
Yeah.
Like, clips of like you dunking on like a 7-foot player or something.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Like that is so incredibly cool. And it's one of those things where, you know, you look at other leagues and you're like, how do you not see this as like pushing the boundaries forward?
It's imagine doing that in the NFL.
Like, and exactly. Like,
being like tackling someone or being tackled as your avatar, that would be so cool.
Yeah, like it would be incredible. And I think, again, like, this is just scratching the surface as to like how you get, you know, how you start innovating in sports other than, and technology other than just statistics or finding new ways to comment on.
Or better replays and like slowing things down. Like that stuff is cool and that led to this kind of advancement, but like let's push this thing as far as we can at this point. You know?
Like how do you put yourself in a position where, you know, you're literally we were chatting about this.
Yeah.
Like virtual court thought. Where it's like you can like put on a headset or glasses or something like that, and you can literally have like a reserved courtside seat And it would be so cool. It was what you were saying. It's if you can get like a few of your buddies or something, and like you're sitting, it feels like you're sitting courtside at, you know, a basketball game, and you're sitting alongside your friends, and
you can all hear them. Yeah, you're talking, you're watching the game together, pretty much, but not in the same place. I feel like that is like, if we talk about like the future of tech with sports, it's like immersive experiences, right?
Yeah.
But like one thing I wanna speak to quick, because like we've kind of been a bit. We've been a bit reserved about the metaverse, I'll say. Like, we've kind of had our comments. Shit. We've talked shit. Yeah. I was looking for the right word. Yeah. We've talked shit about the metaverse before, but, like, I kind of want to backtrack a bit just in terms of, I don't think I would use it for just, like, social experiences of just being at home and sitting on a headset, putting on my headset and chatting with my boys or in a work environment.
Yeah.
But when that's something like, if I'm an avid sports watcher, I think that's where it could make sense.
There's a ton of value.
There's a ton of value,
right?
Yeah.
In that like unknown world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much about the metaverse that like, again, like when we talk shit about it, it's like in its most basic form
pretty much now. Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? There's nothing really.
Almost like an online chat room, but you can see people. And
to like me, cool, that's no different than like, was it Habbo Hotel? Do you remember that? Yeah. It's the same fucking thing. You know?
IMBU and all that.
Yeah. All that stuff. Where we can go with this is like, how does this change like the workplace? How does this change, you know, sports and tech? How does it change your experience as a fan? I feel like there's so much within that that we aren't even seeing yet that I love to just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you, like 30 years ago, if you told me I could be Michael Jordan and put myself into the game and dunk on somebody or something, make a clutch shot or like relive like the biggest shots in history as myself,
they would think you're psychotic. Yeah,
they would be like, what are you talking about? You wouldn't even be able to comprehend that.
No,
but like now it's like that is a reality. And I think like being a fan of like sports in general at this time with this innovation unlocking, I think is like a very good sign as to what things are going to be like in the next, you know, generation of sports.
So let me ask you this, like practically speaking, the barrier to entry for this metaverse stuff is, you know, it's a little bit pricey, right? Yeah. So you still need to buy a headset. Let's say that the cheapest one is like $200-$300, which fair price. What would it take for you to buy a headset and use this stuff regularly? Like, what would they have to include for you to actually make that move? Because right now we're talking about how exciting it is, but like I'm still not about to buy this headset.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of what we were just talking about. Okay. Like I think like
the party stuff, like the social,
The isolated experience of just like getting a headset and watching a game like isn't there for me.
No,
but like what you can include in that is like, you know, a subscription package, or like if you buy the headset and you buy this package, you will be able to watch all games in your local, like basically getting like a league pass integrated into that, so that and like through the NBA app have like, you know, custom opportunities or something that you could like engage with as a fan.
Okay.
For example, like what are these technology innovations look like in like user interface or something like that. Like what I would say that's probably where like I think the social aspect is something is very interesting as well. Like I knew that like if I did this and I bought the headset, bought the subscription, had access to like these really cool innovations, how is it going to be marketed towards me and the people around me so that we're all getting it at the same time?
That's my big thing.
You know what I mean? There needs to be a social aspect of it that I think would make me really want to take part for sure.
I think I'm 100% the same way. Like I'm not with any console either, like the PS5, like I'm not just going to have it, not have multiplayer at all, and then just play on my ones. Like, that's cool, but the reason I bought it is because my friends had it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that helped me think, okay, I can play with people, I can play online and have a funner experience.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be the guy, and there's a bunch of these people, so shout out to y'all, but I'm just not going to be the person that has a VR headset and is chilling on their ones at home. You know? It's just not that fun to me. But, like, all of my other friends or, like, my close friends buy them. If you buy it, Odie buys it, all the Mandem, stuff like that. Then it's like, yo, I need this headset.
Yeah, we got
$500, I don't care. I need this headset.
Totally.
I paid $800 for the PS5.
Like, and I think that that is how you reach people like us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you have to sell me on the social aspect of it versus the actual tech itself.
100%.
It's like, the tech is dope.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I'm a big fan of the NBA. I'm a big fan of sports in general, but like I'm a traditional guy.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm watching it on TV and I'm just watching the game,
that's enough. You've done it your whole life. That's enough.
That's enough for me. But like, you need to market something like this to me to be like a social integration and why that's important for, you know, not just me, but my friends also want to get it.
Man, this new generation, Gen Z, whatever is after them, is the amount of stuff they have available.
They're shut up, man. I wish I had half the shit that this new generation.
Half.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even, I remember watching, like, I don't know, like an episode of like Pokemon or something back in the day.
Then, yeah.
Where like they had like a, like Ash was like talking to Professor Oak or something like that through a computer screen. Like you like called him through. I'm like, man, that would be so cool if that could be a thing. And now it's just like everyday life. Man, that's so sick.
If you even think about it, back when like Star Trek came out, like they had that idea, right? Totally. Of like being able to talk to someone through a screen. And it's like now it's the easiest, most ubiquitous.
Yeah, like that
thing
is,
of tech, you know.
That is a bare minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like I don't know, we're gonna be like 70 years old or something, just like back in my day.
Yeah.
When people are flying cars, happening all this. And
yeah, it's like, we don't need this. I'm not looking at this. Yeah. And I'm not a hater, by the way, because like a lot of old heads will be like, just give me this, and we don't need any of this flashy stuff. And like that works for you. But like I'm looking at this stuff now more so hating from the point of being like, man, I'm jealous that you guys get all this stuff.
It's not a hate at all. It's a jealousy.
This shit is like, so sick.
If like, I could order Uber Eats while in high school, just like,
man,
come
like
on,
yeah, like come it's like on. I can click
simple stuff like that.
You know,
like,
come on. The new generation doesn't understand how lucky they are.
Yeah.
With like the perfect time to like have access to like Uber,
everything,
Uber Eats, everything. Like, you know. There's new tech and sports stuff.
Chat GPT stuff that writes your essay for you.
Yeah, like
all
where
this
was
stuff
that?
Is just
where's man, like how many essays I've written and I'm like, oh fuck, I wish I had like
help.
Some, you know,
help.
I wish some of it but
help me.
But again though, like what does this mean for like the future, right?
Yeah.
Like I heard something and this sounded like so obvious to me, but it's like when you turn on like the map or something, your GPS in your car, even if you kind of know where you're going still, like you, like that takes away like an element of like cognitive focus, right? You're not thinking necessarily about
it.
Like, oh, okay, this is where this thing is, or this is, you're more so saying like, what is the GPS going to tell me to get from point A to point B?
Yeah.
And you're not really thinking about anything else other than just listening to the GPS and focusing on like not crashing your car kind of thing.
Yeah.
So for me, I see this as like, another thing where it's like, what is ChatGPT gonna do to like, you know, you're removing elements of like what got you here in the first place, like critical thinking.
You know, it's a very stripped down, simple example of that is, have you ever pulled out your calculator on your phone for like 4 + 4 or some simple ass shit?
I will 1000% admit that like, I do that shit.
I do that. You know the answer, but it's so readily available that you're just like, let me double check.
Yeah.
And that's like a small example of kind of what you're saying. Cause like, the ChatGPT, it's like, if you're relying on this, now your critical thinking skills, now your creative writing skills is all kind of, you're relying on AI to supplement that.
Yeah. So like, what are you using your brain for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we are, you know, people are saying robots are taking over the planet. It's like, no, technology is turning us into robots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, how do you navigate that in the future? People are just going to maybe use their brains differently. Like, maybe just the way that we operate things will change, you know?
You know?
And the way we see.
We're being reduced to emotions and like our senses and hunger and pain as like the only things that like keep us human.
That was pretty deep actually.
We are getting very down this intense rabbit hole, but I find it very interesting.
That's the bounce back here.
Like I think technology has such a critical role in society today,
of course,
but I think it's how we push ourselves and use our brains to like think about things a little bit differently and how to use our brains in a way that still makes us like relevant as humans. Weird as that sounds.
It's a big picture too of things, right? It's like, for example, like when you always kind of need to look at how are things being used and like what's the future implication of it, right? Because like right now it might seem fun and it might seem frivolous, but like 10 years from now, what can that company do with the information that you just provided, or do with the thing that you just accepted because you thought it was small, but like, what is the bigger picture of that? Yeah. Back when they did the AI avatars and you uploaded your picture and all that and it gave you 50 avatars, it's like, that was cool, but like, no one really read the fine print where it's like, they can use your original picture for advertising and stuff like that, anything they want. And then it's like, oh shit, okay. Let me look into that a little bit the next time, you know what I mean? Because 10 years from now, you can be on this random ad or whatever it is, or right now you could be on this random ad. Totally. So just kind of that critical thinking skills and like really thinking about kind of what you're allowing, you know? But let's move on to another story with Meta. Talk about things that are unnecessary and potentially dangerous in the future.
Yes.
Here's another company. So Instagram is now offering a subscription tier. They're testing it out in Australia and New Zealand, where for $11.99 per month, which is not cheap, it gets you a verification badge. So you get that little blue check.
Certified.
This is an official account, similar to the whole thing that we talked about with Twitter and Elon Musk and all of that. Right. But ultimately, the way they've communicated this, so the PR coming from Meta, is that there's a lot of fake accounts out there, people impersonating, let's say, us, for example. If we pay $11.99, we can have a blue check, so the Mad Mix is official.
Yep.
Is it worth it? I don't know. You know, that's kind of up for debate. Eventually, it'll roll out to the States and to Canada and stuff like that. But this kind of just speaks to what we were talking about a while ago, like many episodes ago, of like all these social media companies eventually are trying to figure out how to charge.
Monetize
outside of advertising. You know what I mean? And this is the next step into that.
Yeah, totally. Well, I would say it's like, it's weird. It's like, if this is an effort to combat fake accounts, like, why don't you just like find a way to mitigate the bot and find that shit quick? You know what I mean? It's instead of making me pay to be like, because like bots will still be able to create fake versions of who I am, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I feel like
it's not the right solution.
I don't know if it's the right solution. If that's like the problem, right? Like,
yeah.
If you're looking to provide additional revenue just or like get, that's say that's the goal. Like you're pushing yourselves to like innovate in new ways from a business perspective as to how you can make more money.
Yeah.
Like that, if that's the goal, that's fine. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pay for using Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. Like it just won't happen. And if I get like, if I have to, then I'm going to dip. But I don't know.
It's tricky because it's not like, so the bots are one thing where it's so clear that it's a bot when you open it.
Yeah.
There are some though, like fake accounts where it's like a real person's running it and they're trying to pretend they're you.
Yeah.
And they have a decent amount of followers and it's actually sometimes kind of tricky.
Yeah.
If we're talking like a Rihanna impersonator, obviously that's not it because she has millions, right? But when you're in that like 1K to like 15K range maybe, it's pretty easy to imitate some of those accounts and gain a following.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, will those people pay this? I don't know. I'm not in the position that someone's copying my account and it looks realistic.
Yeah.
But still, I'm just like, the concept of kind of like paying for a verification for me is just... It doesn't really line up.
It seems kind of weird. It seems kind of unnecessary. It
seems unnecessary, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, they're testing out in Australia and New Zealand, so if that works out, then they'll roll it out over here. But
yeah, we'll have to keep our eyes on it.
Yeah.
But one other thing that I wanted to kind of talk about was like, man, like how many years have you been on Instagram and like every fucking comment section is just flooded with people like, I will relieve your debt for this or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how, like...
I'll relieve your debt.
You know what I mean? Like, so many thank you to this person who I trusted for this.
Yeah.
And I'm
the
like,
comments are insane right now. And the fake accounts liking your stories and you get all of those? Like,
Yeah.
I'm porn like, accounts, I'm just like, Jesus.
It's like, man, like, this is crazy.
Clean
like,
this up, yeah.
What I find nuts about it is that, like, this is just like a... It's a huge, huge issue, right?
Yeah.
Like, on the platform. It totally inflates numbers.
Yeah.
Inflates followers, everything. So that, like, you can monitor, like, you can say, oh, well, I have this many followers, so, like, I deserve this.
You
or,
not.
You know?
Yeah, you do not.
News but it's crazy, right? Like, and I'm like, this is still such a significant problem on the platform.
And they're not doing anything
about it. I'm very, very surprised that there has been no other type of commentary. Fixing that problem on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've never seen something like that. Like, you know, the Raptors will post like a highlight or something. Mm-hmm. They'll click the comment section when it just gets posted. And it's like a formula. Flooded. And it's just flooded already. It's like, man, there's no.
I got something for you on my story. It's like,
Yeah. You're like, yo.
And people have started liking those too as like a joke now. So now it's at the top. Nah.
Why does everyone want to like talk to me? Or why does everyone go to the bathroom every time they see my story? I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, get out of here, man.
The crazy thing is they're starting to like stories now too, and they'll follow you, they'll add you to group chats, they'll tag you in stories, all these fake accounts, and I'm like, here's the thing, I don't know the solution, but so what they're doing with this verification badge is you actually have to submit your like government ID.
Right.
Thing is, like, I don't want that to be like a requirement for all accounts to do.
Yeah.
Obviously that would fix the situation, but like no one wants to do that, you know, especially now with Facebook and Meta and all that. But there's got to be another way for them to clean up all these garbage profiles that Maria 9568200072. Come on,
you know, it's like, I know this is bullshit.
Yeah,
this is like the oldest trick in the book, and it's like
people got to be falling for it.
Man. Here's the thing. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
A bot follows you. are you? Well, I'm assuming you're not gonna follow back. Would you confirm the follow?
Oh, I'm not private.
Oh, so they just
follow.
Oh, man.
So what I do is I just delete the notification because I don't remove them as follower. They're going to unfollow anyhow. But
so your numbers are inflated.
Yes, sir. For like 1 week and then, you know, they dip. But
it's been.
They're the only ones that like my story. I'll put it that way.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on to our last topic of the day here. Yeah. This one was an interesting one because... This one came from like a, you know, an inception kind of moment where I'm like trying to find topics for the Mad Mags.
This was a real-time edition.
And I couldn't find them because the places that I looked to find fucking, articles, inspiration, any of that, are putting up a paywall.
Yeah.
You know.
Get your money up.
Get your money up, not your funny up. You know what I'm saying? What was that guy in New York? Big fucking movie. No, it's hilarious video. But like, you know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The websites that I go to find out stuff are like Adweek or like Strategy Online. And like sometimes going to those websites is a bit of a pain in the ass. Cause like you said, it's a bit of a circle jerk.
Yeah.
It's I don't know how advertisers can basically pay for a post on Strategy Online versus it being like picked up by the media kind of thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's all just like paid and not really earned. But like what I struggle with this is that like this to me is another area where advertising is creating barriers for people to like learn about the industry or find out campaigns about the industry, you know? Mm-hmm. Unless you're like innately passionate about the industry, which is like probably a result of like somebody in your family being a creative director or someone being in the industry for a long time. Not many people know about advertising as like a legitimate career, right?
Yep.
And I find it hard when I'm like trying to find out information about like a campaign or something and it says, well, you need to subscribe and pay X dollars amount a month to get there.
But you haven't had enough value to like want to do that.
To want to do that.
Just be interested in like, what is this thing?
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? And it's like, oh, we have to pay to find out. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I actually like don't give a shit.
Yeah, so,
like,
I'm
out of here.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that like this to me showcases a lot of inaccessibility that exists so much in advertising and marketing in general as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, I debated myself on this one because it's like, well, you know, the Toronto Star and Globe and Mail will do similar type of things. We have to pay for a subscription to like read the news. And it's like, I understand that. The news is like what everybody reads. It's like widely accepted as like a form of information. So it's like, if I have to pay to like keep up with the Times or whatever, based on the newspaper subscription that I want,
yeah,
so be it.
And I think for those examples, it's only on certain kind of articles, right? Like if there's a not an emergency situation, but if there's like something that everyone like needs to know about,
yeah, it's
typically
like,
they don't have a paywall on it.
Yeah, so, it's just get it out there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But with advertising, it's like, man, like not enough people outside of the industry give a shit about this enough to like pay for it, right? Yeah. People will pay for subscriptions that are already in the industry and want to see their campaign live up on the website, which is like,
yeah,
I feel like one is definitely a generalization, but two, I think is like such a common issue in the industry. It's all the same fucking people talking to each other. And like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to strategy online and I've just seen this creative director is now working at Zulu.
Just an update.
I'm like, I don't know who these people are. And like, frankly, I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to see the work. I want to see like creativity and cool stuff. But instead, it's just like a circle jerk of like people continuing to like talk to each other and pay to like put themselves out there and say, oh, look, our ad is featured here, when it's just, it's not really like legitimate.
Right.
You know what I mean? I struggle with
it. And that's who it's for, right? Like this subscription model or whatever it is for the circle jerk of advertising. I have no other word to put it. You know, no other way to put it, but for those people, right? Like if I think about when I was an advertising coordinator, an account coordinator, a lot of my time is spent on strategy online, looking at quote-unquote inspiration from other campaigns what kind of moves are happening, and that's who this is for, right? Like the people that want to tap into that information. I don't really see strategy online posted anywhere other than like LinkedIn from the person that is featured.
You know what I mean?
I don't see these on like IG stories with links, or I don't see these on Twitter really.
Right.
It's really just on LinkedIn or if I type in the search myself, you know.
And that's the hardest part, because it's like, man, like
they don't get a lot of reach outside of the
communities that they were like have partnership with or something. Right? Like maybe it's not meant to be that. But like my point being is like, stop adding barriers for people to learn about the industry, because it's homogenous, right? It's all the same people talking to each other at the same agencies, you know, and it's just like a network of people just like moving from this agency to here. Where, oh, this person is now working on this. Oh, these two people teamed up and now they're starting another agency.
That one is,
you know what I mean?
And team like, of five white people.
Yeah. And it's like, man, like, can we get something else in here? Like, we need new perspectives so bad, and like a new life, a new blood in the industry.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's gotten so monotonous and homogenous that I'm like, God damn. Like, this has actively turned me off of wanting to engage in the industry. Like, I don't care about advertising anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a legitimate way for people to like make money being creative. And it offers like a good way for people to like break into the private sector and have like a type of job.
It's a good job to have.
Advertising is a great job. And it's really benefited me in my career. But like the actual product itself, like I feel like being a creative person nowadays is so much harder than it's ever been, because there's so many like, oh, did you think about this and X, Y, Z and
all these constraints.
That you need to think about. It's like, man, like we're limiting ourselves so much.
And
I think it like distracts people from like, you know, a lot of passion that exists in the industry as well.
What's the quote there? Like, advertising is where creativity goes to die. something around like that. It's a little extreme, obviously, but I mean, you get it, you know?
Totally.
That passionate art director that joins an agency and realizes that they can't actually do it, everything they want creatively. And that's a whole other conversation, we always have to have our little advertising rant here and there, you know?
Wouldn't be the Mad Knicks
without it. That is our episode.
Episode 4, man.
Sponsored by
unofficially sponsored by BioSteel.
We haven't made the sponsor jokes in a while.
No, big time.
Yeah, you know,
Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned for more great content. We got a lot of stuff planned for the next little bit here.
Yes, sir.
More BioSteel to be had, of course, over the episodes. But if you're listening to this on Wednesday, hope you had a great family day weekend.
Of course. And we're your family, unofficially.
Yeah, we are here. We are unofficial BioSteel sponsors, unofficial members of your family.
That's our episode. Peace.
Have a good one.